You're listening to Sunday Sermons from Christ Pacific Church, located in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world.
Hi, my name is Dean Bobar. Join me as we kick off our new series, Songs to Live By, with a study of Psalm 1.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Jim Thompson. I'll be reading the scripture today. We're looking at Psalm 1. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Again, that's Psalm 1. You can turn there in your Bibles or follow along on your device or on the screen behind me. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. He, in all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
As we start this new series this week, this new series is called Songs to Live By, and one of the things that we love as a congregation and as leadership is the strength of hymns and the lyrical content of hymns. And so we thought it'd be fitting as we start this new series to start it off with the song Amazing Grace. And would you guys stand with us if you're able to? And we're just going to sing this as a congregation together.
You all can have a seat. Thank you, Josh, Britt, and Julie. How many of you guys know that song? Did we need the words up there? No, we really didn't need the words up there. Why is that song so powerful? What is it about it? It's about redemption, but if you know the story behind the guy, I'll say more about that in a minute. Why else is it so powerful? What's that? It's an image, it's a song that matches up with the parable of the prodigal father. Yeah, it captures some truth from scriptures. One of the reasons why it's so powerful is it's born out of the conversion experience of, do you know whom? John Newton. Pastor Peter a few months ago told his story a bit, but he was kind of a scumbag. If in the world's eyes, like he was a guy that was just like, everyone hated him. He was just doing a bunch of wrong stuff. He was a slave trader. And God met him, and he experienced this amazing grace. And so one of the reasons why this song is so powerful is because it depicts not only his conversion experience, but ours, right? You can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And you know, yeah, that's me. That's me. This is how a book of the Bible called the Psalms work. It's like the ancient hymn book for Israel, for ancient Israel. And just like the song we just sang, they're expressions of the life and the faith of God's people. They connect with our heart, with our faith, with our life. On Friday mornings, I've been leading a Bible study at Huntington Landmark for a number of years, just right down the road. And I thought, since we're going through the Psalms on Sunday morning, I'll do a Psalm study there. And just this last Friday, we were reading through Psalm 13. And one of the ladies just choked up. She could barely get through it. And we asked her, what is that about? And she said, this psalm has meant so much to me. I've prayed it. I've worshiped with it so many times. And that's just an example of how that is powerful. So these words are powerful as human words to God, but they're also God's words to us, if we're willing to listen. For the rest of the summer, we're going to be in the Psalms. We're doing this series, Psalms to Live By. Songs to Live By, excuse me. And you might be wondering why the word song. Like, I've never sung a psalm before, and maybe you have like a certain background and you recognize maybe some of the psalms in some of our worship songs, but where does that come from? Well, it comes from the titles that the Jewish people and the Christian tradition has given it. The first is psalmoi. It means songs to the accompaniment of music or instrumental music, okay? That comes from the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The other one is tehillim, and it means songs of praise. That's in the Hebrew. That's what if you talk to an Orthodox Jew, you ask them, well, what do you call the 150 songs that are sung? Oh, they're the tehillim, the songs of praise. And so these are songs to live by for us as God's people. Earlier, for the first part of the summer, we did a series called Stories to Live By, where we made our way through the parables, and we saw how each parable introduces us or invites us to enter into God's big kingdom story. And just like that, each psalm invites us to sing to the king and to live for the king. Because the message of the psalms is really quite simple, I think, and lots of other people have said this, is it's the Lord reigns. Like, God's in charge. That's the message. If you read through all 150 psalms that so many of God's people have said, God's in charge, the Lord reigns. And so the psalms are the songs of the citizens of heaven, the songs of us who claim God as our king, who walk after Jesus. I want to give us a bit more introduction to the psalms as kind of a big picture view, because we're going to be spending several weeks in the psalms. Now, there's lots of different genres or types of psalms, and we could go through like a list of like 12 different ones and through all this different stuff, but there's a really easy way to think of it that I've come across from an Old Testament scholar named Walter Brueggemann. And he talks about three different categories for psalms. There's psalms of orientation, psalms of disorientation, and psalms of new orientation. And if you think about how you go through life, isn't that how it is? Very often you're oriented, you feel stable, everything's going right, then you get disoriented, right? And then you have a new orientation, kind of a new normal. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you? It resonates with me a lot. So psalms of orientation are, this is how the world works. This is a declaration of our faith that God is in charge. This is how we're to live. The world is stable. Psalms of disorientation are when life and faith don't match up. We declare to believe certain things, but our life experience doesn't seem to match up. And we ask things like, God, where are you? What's going on? And so these psalms are filled with dismay, fear, anger. And God listens to that, and he says, yes, let's talk. And then finally, there's psalms of new orientation. This is where God shows up in the midst of the disorienting experience of life, and he's gracious, he's faithful, and he's powerful, and he does something new. Okay, do you guys kind of see that? So keep this in mind as we go through the psalms. So Where would you fit Psalm 1 that was just read? Is it a psalm of orientation, disorientation, or new orientation? What do you think? Orientation or new orientation? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I could see it in both. A lot of people see it as a psalm of orientation or a wisdom psalm. A wisdom psalm. It's a psalm that reflects God's wisdom on life. And this first psalm, and the first one in our series, is about two ways to live. You have two ways to live. Wisdom in the Bible, wisdom books and wisdom theology, wisdom themes, talks about two ways to live. And this psalm reflects that kind of thinking. It's simple, but it's also quite deep. There's a lot to dig down, we're going to see here. So there's two ways to live. There's one certain way that this psalm invites us and celebrates to live. It's the way of wisdom. It's the path of the righteous that leads to true life. And then there's another path that's foolish to go down. It's the path of the wicked, and it leads to destruction. Okay? So keep that in mind, two ways to live. We're going to focus in on two key words. The two words are blessed for verses 1 through 3 for the first half, and then the second is way. All right, blessed and way, blessed and way. We're going to make our way through the psalm. The first is the word blessed, okay? And this word is actually quite common in our culture. How many of you are on Instagram or Facebook and you've ever done hashtag blessed? Okay? It's pretty common. Like, people even talk about that in shows. If you listen to radio shows or TV or movies, they'll say, like, hashtag blessed. As of last night, this is how many posts there were on Instagram that had the hashtag blessed. 113,897,906. So this is a common thing that's being talked about in our culture. So let's go through some of the hashtags. Okay, hashtag blessed. And I've kind of augmented these to fit on there and added hashtag blessed. Okay, here's one. Here's another. That's actually one of my distant relatives. His name's Carter. he's now like about this big. Hashtag blessed from Christmas, one of my best friends and his family. And then another hashtag blessed out on the boat on a vacation. So what do these kind of hashtag blessed communicate? What do they seem to mean when people talk about being blessed? What's that? Joy, okay. What do you see here? What kind of feelings do you get as you go through this? Peace, gifts, okay? It's a sense of, like, everything's going well. There's good experiences. Maybe even there's material wealth. Like, there's blessing. Like, I've received lots of good things. And there's some good things in there. But what if you had, like, an Israelite back in, like, 700 BC and took a picture? Somehow they managed to have a smartphone. Instagram was around. They took a picture and went hashtag blessed. What would they say? What would they say? This is where Psalm 1 comes in. Let's hear the answer in verses 1 through 3, or at least part of the answer. Blessed is the man, and that's actually just meant to be the person. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Hashtag blessed. That's what they would do. So I guess, like, if they went to some trees, they would take pictures of them and go, hashtag blessed. I have, you know, this is what my life is like. So on the surface, this seems kind of similar too, right? In some ways, in all that he does, he prospers. Things are going well. But does this mean that there's no suffering when we walk with God, and all that he does, he prospers, there's just abundance? Is this what life with God is really like? The picture here in verse 3 is of a tree planted by streams of water, and it just has fruit. And, like, this is the picture of my life. Like, everything's going well. There's just fruit all the time. There's just abundance. God is good. Life is good. That's what it seems like until you, like, really start to dig deeper. So I want to highlight a few things here for some of the key words here. The first thing is the word planted. The Hebrew word there is actually maybe better rendered as transplanted. So it's been moved from the desert, let's say, to an area where there's streams of water. You have to remember the ancient Israelites were people that had lots of desert around them. They were looking for water, oases, rivers to have enough water. And so this is a really appropriate picture of God's of being blessed. I'm like a tree that's by water. I'm not out in the desert. But notice that it says it was transplanted, meaning that there was a time when the tree was not blessed, not hashtag blessed. There was a time when things were not going good, where things were not quite right. The second thing I want you to notice is the word in its season. Okay? I don't think there's any fruit trees out there that are constantly bearing fruit. I need to talk with someone like Susie Olson who's more about this kind of stuff, but I don't think that there's, you know, I don't think there's any fruit tree that's just constantly bearing fruit all the time. There's seasons of fruitfulness, and there's other seasons where there's no fruit. And this means that there's times of waiting for God to show up and do good things. There's times when my life is, I'm looking and the tree's barren. I'm by the stream of water and there's no fruit coming. And this is a picture of life, that there's times that we have to wait for God to do things. We have a time that we have to wait for suffering to end. And then finally, the word fruit. It seems like in the scripture, most of the time, if not always, fruit has to do with character, with justice, with doing right in the world. In other words, it's the thing that God looks for us in terms of how we're to live our life before God, that we are becoming the kind of people that reflect the image of God, becoming the kind of people that do justice and righteousness in the world. Hashtag blessed. That's hashtag blessed. It's not just the abundant fruit all the time. It's times of being not near the water, times of waiting, times of being formed to become more like God, where we're not doing all that that God's expecting of us, and we're waiting for God to transform us. So how do we become that kind of person? How do we become that kind of rooted tree? Well, the blessed are those who avoid the way of the wicked and prosper because they're rooted by God's word. Because they're rooted by God's word. The psalm begins with what the blessed person doesn't do. But first I want to talk about the idea of being rooted by God's word. Rooted by God's word, this is one of our four roots of discipleship. We talk about being rooted in God's story and then rooted by God's word. That's how we get into God's story, what God's doing in the world. So the psalm begins with what the man does not do. Let's read verse 1 again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, okay, nor stands in the seat of scoffers, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Do you notice the progression there? I got this illustration from Jericho, who got it from one of his professors. It's kind of like when you're at the mall and you go by and you see like that pair of shoes or book that you want to buy at Barnes & Noble, and you go, okay. That's just walking by. Then the next time you go into the store and you're kind of flipping through the book. Maybe I'll get this book. And then finally you're actually going and doing it. You're buying in. So it's that kind of progression that the blessed man does not do. They do not go into the way of the wicked. They avoid that. They avoid listening to the world. So instead of listening to the world, they're taught by God. They're taught by God. It says that their delight is in the Lord's law or the Lord's instruction. Whoa. It jumped way far ahead. I don't know what happened there. Okay. Okay, yeah, I'll let you fix it. There we go. One more, please. Ah, there we go. So that word instruction or law is Torah. How many of you have, if you have Jewish friends, you've heard the word Torah before? It's the first five books of the Bible. For the Jews, that's what they call it. We call it that usually the Pentateuch or the fivefold volume. But they call it the Torah. It means instruction first and then law second. The idea here is that God instructs. The blessed person delights in God's instruction. They're listening to God. God, what do you think about this? How do you want me to deal with this? What's your perspective on this situation? How am I supposed to live? They delight in that. So does this mean that we're supposed to just spend all day just, you know, sitting down reading scripture? Like, okay, I'm just going to open up my Bible app and I'm just going to be reading scripture all day because it says meditate on his instruction day and night. Hashtag blessed. Okay, there we go. I'm just reading all day and all night. I need to quit my job because it says I'm supposed to meditate on scripture all day and night. Well, the word meditation means you chew on it again and again. You go over it again and again. And it doesn't just mean sitting down to study it or read it. It means it begins to shape how you live. Just like when roots start to go down into soil that's near water, it starts to shape how the roots go down. It goes more towards the source of water. It soaks up the life. It's where our story gets absorbed by God's story. We're rooted in God's story, what he's doing in the world. Is this making sense? It's like a tree that gets transplanted near God's word, and it's soaking up all that life, and it's changing it. Being rooted by God's word means not only that we seek to understand, it's not about gaining a bunch of knowledge, but it's actually about living differently. It's about living by what God says, knowing God's word and doing God's word. God cares a whole lot more that if you live by, if you were, had 100 areas of being transformed than if you knew 100 Bible facts. If you knew 100 Bible facts about Bible culture and history and all this stuff, and it's not transforming you, it's not very helpful. And I'm one of the Bible guys here, right? Like, I love studying the Bible. But I've learned that if it doesn't lead to us to change, to transformation, to getting involved with what God's doing in the world, it's useless. It's like putting down roots and not actually being right near the water and not actually soaking it up. That's what being rooted by God's word is all about. And it changes us. And over time, we bear fruit and we become like this rooted, stable tree. So that's the first word, blessed. Hashtag blessed. Let's move on to the second word, way. Remember, this is a psalm of orientation. It's a wisdom psalm. It lays out two ways to live. We're either rooted by God's word for true life or not. I laugh at people who say this, that there's two kinds of people in the world, those who categorize people and those who don't. So I don't mean to oversimplify things, but this is how wisdom theology and wisdom thinking works. There's two ways. It's either this or that. It's black and white. So let's finish up the psalm with verses 4-6 and focus on this word way. So after this picture of hashtag blessed, this rooted tree that's blossoming, being rooted by God's word, there's a turn in verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. And again, this is an agricultural picture. It's of someone going to the harvest, and they throw up the stalks, and the chaff blows away. And what comes down is what is usable grain. I mean, what a contrast. A rooted tree that's filled with life. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag not blessed, you're like a chaff that the wind just blows away. You have no rootedness, no true life. And they would just burn the chaff, actually. Then verses 5-6. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So their lives end in destruction. The way of the wicked will perish. It's very simple, wicked versus righteous. But what do you do when you're disoriented by life experience? Does what we've read this morning accurately depict all of life? Does this accurately depict all of your life, that it's just always abundance, fruitfulness, and this is it. This is all that life is about. I'm seeing some heads shaking over there. Yeah, for me, this doesn't always capture what all of life is about. We need other perspectives, and the Bible provides it for us. When it's a simple choice where we're trying to figure out which way to go, Psalm 1 says, hey, go the way of the wise. Go down the way of righteousness. It leads to true life. But the Bible addresses many of our difficult questions. Shar, you're doing awesome. Thank you. We have lots of difficult questions, and the Bible doesn't shy away from them. It doesn't answer all our questions, but it does wrestle with a lot of the same kind of questions that God's people have had down the centuries. How many of you have ever asked, why do good things happen to bad people? Okay. Well, there's a whole book dedicated to that question, the book of Job. You have this guy, Job, who's going through this unexplained suffering. He has no idea. He doesn't know what's happening in heaven, how he's being tested. Even at the end, he has no idea why he went through all that. In the end, God is shown to be good and powerful and in control. The Lord reigns. But he never gets to know that. Another even more prominent question in the Old Testament is, why do the wicked prosper? Or to flip the first question around, why do good things happen to bad people? You see the difference there? How many of you have ever asked that? You know, maybe with a coworker or like, what, God, I thought you were, I thought I was in your graces. Why is this happening to me? And I see this guy over here, he's a schmuck. Like, I'm just channeling like being in a bad place, you know? This guy's a scumbag. Like, God, why? And actually, the Psalms use that kind of language. If you read them, it's actually pretty realistic. And you'll find that in the Psalms a lot. You'll find in the book of Ecclesiastes wrestles with that question. It seems like it's, you know, just God's wisdom in life, but it's also like this mysterious, skeptical, even cynical questioning of life's mysteries, trying to figure out what this is all about. And God invites it all. So here's the invitation in the psalm, to orient our lives around listening to God. To orient our lives around listening to God about how to live. Not just when it's simple, clear, black and white, but in all areas of life. I'm going to delight in your instruction. Even when it seems like I'm being rooted by your word, I'm being guided, and nothing is changing. Even when that's happening, I'm going to listen. And why do we do this? Because the picture here is of over time, I'm going to become like the tree planted by the stream of water that grows, even though there's desert times, even though there's suffering, even though I'm not always experiencing God's goodness, I'm going to grow over time to become that kind of person. The Psalms orient us to do life with God, to listen to God, to say, God, I'm going to listen to you throughout all of it. It's an invitation that sets us up for the whole book of Psalms. Psalm 1 and 2 are intro to the whole book of Psalms. Peter will preach next week on Psalm 2. And it also sets us up for the rest of the series. I don't want us to just, Peter doesn't want us to just have this be about expressions to God, but God's going to talk to us a lot as we continue to make our way through the Psalms. And it particularly addresses a lot of questions about what do we do when we're suffering, and how can we still declare that God reigns? How can I hold those two realities together? God, where are you? Why is this happening? I thought you were more powerful than this. God, where are you? Why aren't I experiencing your goodness? I thought you were a good God. How can you let this happen? Maybe you've had those kinds of questions at times. The Bible never shuts down dialogue, but when God talks, he says, I would like you to listen. I'd like you to listen. Don't spend the whole time talking. Spend some time listening. And so this is an invitation to also spend time listening to God. Maybe you read through a chapter of the Bible or a few verses and you spend some time, God, what do you have for me in this? What do you want me to learn about God and people and relationships? What do you want me to go out and change in terms of my understanding, my beliefs, my desires, what you want me to do? That's a good orientation for listening to God. And it says that while the way of the wicked will perish, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The word there, know, is used in other places of sexual intimacy. I mean, it's a really intimate word. And that's what it says for what the Lord knows about us, about how we walk through life, our way. It says the Lord knows intimately. He watches over our ways. Even when it seems like God's not in charge, God says, no, I intimately know your every step as you walk along the way. And this is an amazing invitation to know the God of the universe, to be known more and more by the one who fully knows us. We'll never know him like he knows us, but he says, I want to know you intimately. I want to have an intimate relationship with you, my creature, who is created in my image. I want to know you, and I want you to know me. At the beginning of the message, we sang that song, Amazing Grace. One of the reasons why is because it's a powerful song to introduce us to how the Psalms work. But I also wanted us to hear the content, what this is about, the message here as well. Because when we encounter the two ways to live, we ultimately say, Lord, I know I'm supposed to pursue this way, but I'm kind of shifting over this way, right? Like, I know I'm supposed to walk in this way, but Lord, I'm struggling. What do I do? This is where God's amazing grace comes in, where we can't do it on our own. We need God's amazing grace. I want you to hear about God's amazing grace in Scripture. For the Israelites, they could look back on God's act of salvation when he saved them in the Exodus, when he brought them out of slavery and made them his people. They could look back on this. So if you go through Psalm 1 and you say, well, where's grace? Well, they're already in a place where they're in a gracious relationship with God. Things are stable. We're oriented towards God. But for us, we can look back to a new exodus, a new deliverance, a new escape from sin, death, and the devil. And I want you to hear this invitation to celebrate this amazing grace and live by it. Out of Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I wonder if John Newton had this passage in mind, or one of these passages in mind that's like this, when he wrote Amazing Grace. But this is the invitation to live by God's amazing grace, this amazing invitation to not only be saved by God's grace, but to be empowered to walk in it, because we're not saved by works, but we are saved for good works. God has planned these things beforehand. This is the invitation. Live in the way of the wise. This is God's amazing grace. You're not always going to be able to stay on the way I want you to live, but I'm going to forgive you, I'm gracious, and I'll help you get back on track. Pursue that. Make your life about that. Listen to me in the good and the bad. This is the invitation. Let us listen for God, because he is a good God. He's a gracious God. Would you join me in prayer as we close? Lord God, we thank you that you reign, that you're in charge even when it seems like it's not so. Lord, help us to trust that you are intimately knowing our way, that you're watching over us. Lord, help us to take up this invitation as your creatures to relate to know intimately our Creator. And Lord, we continue in worship now, declaring your praises in good times and in bad, because you are worth it. It's in Christ's powerful name, Jesus the Way, that we pray.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Christ Pacific Church, visit our website at www.cpchb.org and follow us on social media at Christ Pacific Church.